welcome to another episode of the Guzzy Geek Podcast. My name is Chris White, and joining me this week we have Mr. Gary Bailey. How are you doing, mate?
I'm tired, but I'm here. I'm not high, just to clarify.
I thought you said, I thought you went, I don't know why. Yeah, you're all good though, apart from being tired.
I am.
Good. And Mr. Adam Carroll, how are you doing, mate?
I'm doing very good. I'm trying to get my head around the Aladdin trailer, however. I'm just going to put it out there, lads.
I don't know, it's a bit weird.
I'm just going to say, I said it on Twitter, I was like, the genie thing I'm not bothered about is like, fine, you know. But I just thought the trailer was bad.
It just looked bad.
It was just a nonsensical trailer. Nothing made sense. But, you know, like normally you have a trailer, it's like, this is kind of what the story's going to be, that kind of thing. And I was just like, I'm sat there, I'm like, what's actually going on? Even though I know Aladdin, I'm still like, this just makes no sense.
But can we first, I don't get it. For 2 minutes, right, just discuss these live action ones that are coming out, okay? So right now, coming up, we have Aladdin, Lion King and Dumbo, and I think that's it, right? Now,
yeah,
how are we feeling about it, lads? Like, I think this is losing major magic for me. Like, whatever people can say about the Lion King and all that jazz, that trailer is literally a carbon copy. Putting the feelings aside and the emotional attachment, why can't we just have the cartoons? Like, they're still unbelievable.
Yeah, well, I mean, I kind of see, like, it doesn't take anything. Like, if you want to watch the old ones, go watch them. You know, this isn't going to take anything away from them.
Oh, Christ, but who hasn't seen The Lion King?
But that's the thing, like, yeah. The Lion King is my second favourite film, like, of all time.
Yeah.
Like, I adore that film. And I'm kind of like, all right, you've done a live action one, cool. But it's not really live action, is it? It's like 90% of it's going to be CG. It's just going to be live action backgrounds.
It looks really...
Unless they've managed to make actual lions talk.
That's the next evolution of movies.
Yeah, like Aladdin looks really cheap. Like, and it's weird to say that, do you know? Like, the green screen is blatantly obvious.
Yeah, I mean, there's that bit where he's in the cave and it pulls back, you know, and all of it's like crumbling around him, and like that just looks like something from like 15 years ago.
Yeah.
You know them, the old 3D films when they first used to be. It just looked really bad.
But that's...
like, to be fair, it's the first trailer, is it?
It's the second, but the first one was like a minute long, it literally panned out over the desert.
Yeah.
This is like the first glimpse of like the genie and Jafar and Aladdin and all that.
So it's kind of, it's just like, it's probably going to look much better once the actual film arrives, but still, it's like, it just isn't a good trailer. And I think Disney's just, it needs a bit more creativity around at the minute.
Yeah, but the problem though isn't the look of this movie, according to, it was Will Smith's like appearance as the genie, right? I don't know what the problem is as such. Is it just that it looks absolutely hilarious because it's Will Smith?
I think it's because it kind of looks a bit odd because it's like his face looks like it's just been pasted onto.
That's what it is. It's like Will Smith's been CGI'd.
Yeah.
It's like a CGI'd version of Will Smith.
He looks like...
They should have just done it. Not Will Smith. Just leave it his voice, but just made a completely just CGI genie.
Yeah,
I think that would have made more sense because I think it's just his face looks odd just pasted onto this CGI torso thing. It's just weird.
He basically looks like a fucking Smurf on steroids.
He does. Druggy Smurf. Yeah. But to be honest, right, Dumbo, I quite fancy.
Because it's Tim Burton and I just think he's...
He's way
past
caravan,
it.
So Tim Burton, Big Fish, I think is one of the finest films he's ever done. And just a shout out to Albert Finney, who passed away recently, who was in that, who was incredible. But that film, it reminds me a lot of that. It's even got Danny DeVito as like the ringmaster in it.
It's a cracking show.
So I'm up for that. And even in the trailer, when the second trailer that dropped, when his mum gets taken away, fucking hell. Like, the cartoon was bad enough.
Yeah.
But that's gonna be emotional. But Disney films, eh?
Yeah, I just
I don't know. We'll see. I think they've run the course with the creativity as far as the cartoons go. Mm. It's all about the Pixar magic now.
Yeah, it is.
But there we go. So video games. And whilst it's a pretty quiet week, we do have some stuff to talk about. There are games that are out very soon, which unfortunately are embargoed to a day or so after when the podcast normally drops. So next week we'll be nice and full of game proper game chatter with the big releases.
There'll be bloody loads, won't they, next week? Mm.
Yes, there will. And it's going to be interesting to talk about them. But we have got some games. We're going to start off with the kind of a big surprise, really. I mean, it was reported about a couple of weeks ago. There was a game coming from Respawn, which was a Titanfall Battle Royale. It's Apex Legends. It is a Battle Royale. It is from Respawn. And it's apparently very good. Now, I've played one game, and the game I logged on to was with these random two people, and one of them was like this 10-year-old. And all he kept saying was, please be gentle, this is my first game. And he was literally like a child. So wasn't the greatest first impression, but in terms of like the way it plays, it's good. But as I say, I played one game, but I know Adam, you've played a bit more. So Apex Legends, how are you finding it?
Yeah, so I've put in about 20 hours into it, I think. No,
fucking
that's,
out.
That fuck yeah, that's a lot.
That is impressive.
Yeah, so it's about 20. Okay, so when going in here with this, like, would it just been the three of us, and I'm the only person who's played this much? It's kind of hard for me to really dissect this game because I'm not honestly a big online gamer. I never have been. I think like it was World of Warcraft and Monster Hunter, Diablo. They're my kind of only real ones, you know. Within the Battle Royale genre, I have given no time. The most time I've given to a Battle Royale, I say, is like the recent Call of Duty, like Blackout, whatever, you know. This being announced by Respawn, what pulled me in here was the general buzz anyway, straight off. Like, all of a sudden, online, it was just Apex Legends everywhere. And yeah, I was like, what the fuck is this? And then seeing Respawn, I was like, all right, cool. I saw everyone having a baby over not being Titanfall 3 and blah, 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 and all this, that, and the other, right? So I went, look, I'll download it, jump in, see what's happening. So as it goes in, I'm like, okay, here we are now. And I know the general premise of the Battle Royale feature. Everyone kind of does at this stage. But I did the training. And the training, first off, anyway, it's pretty bad. The training is like, it's really just showing you how to shoot a gun, which we all know in first-person shooters, yeah. And you can slide, yeah. And just, it's very minor in explaining its ways, you know? And I'm like, okay, so I jump in for a match, and I'd say 30 seconds, I was dead. Like, no joke. First game, dead. And I was like, well, that's just me hating this game immediately, like, because that's just how this is. So I just said, do you know what, I'll give it another go. Went for a second round, last bit longer, didn't really succeed much. And I don't know what kept me going with it, but I think by around, like, my 10th game, I started getting it, and I started really getting a feel for it, and then I started realizing just how good, like, the feel of Titanfall 2 was, and how it's kind of in here now as well, and I'm like, oh, this is... Because from Apex Legends, it does a hell of a lot, like, of different stuff for the Battle Royale scene, apparently. Now, I know how Fortnite works, I know how PUBG works and whatever. The features in this are just so well done. It's so well designed. Like, running for your weapons is, to me, a very fun aspect of all these games. I just think it's hilarious. Just everyone's just panicking, just running for their loot. And it's just designed in such a way that, like, if you pick up a weapon, you'll find an attachment. It will instantly attach it to the gun if it's made for the gun.
That's good.
Do you know what I mean? So you're not having to... Mm. You don't really have to focus a lot on your inventory. You just got to just grab and... Like, obviously, it the controls are just so well thought out in terms of not only managing your inventory, but also, like, pinning stuff. So the pinning is, like, a huge thing for the game. You can literally communicate without headsets. And for this feature to be put into a game, that's something else like that. Because I'm going to be honest, I don't really like chatting to randomers online. Like, I just, it's not my bag.
Oh, I'm with you on that.
Like, yeah, I love doing it with friends, but it's not my thing with strangers. And already, like, I kind of, no offense to anyone, but I jump in and I kind of have to mute everyone straight away, because whoever on my squad, because it sounds like chaos. And then also, I had one guy, not me personally, but he was like in the legend screen. So when you're picking your character, he started roaring at like the other guy to not pick like one of the legends. And he's like, don't fucking go for that. Don't go for that. And you can just see. Right. I was like kind of going, this fella's going to have a fucking nervous breakdown. All I could see was when the other character was picking his character or whatever, you could see his icon slowly moving to the legend that your man was telling him not to pick. And then he just went X. And the man just goes, fuck you. Fuck you, man. You're a dickhead. He lost the plot and just exited the game. And it was just like, all right. This is kind of like the reason I hate these kind of games in a way. Now, I'm personally hoping that thing will get fixed eventually, because what resulted in that was, when we picked our characters, it was because it's three in a squad and there's like 60 players get dropped in. So it's around, I think, like 20 teams or something like that. When you land in and if someone just exits, nobody else gets spawned in. So you're just now a two-man squad. And really kind of sucks, because you can still probably get by if you're absolutely amazing at the game. But like, it kind of annoyed me and I was just like, oh, that sucks, because like all these games, it takes a while for just to kind of get in, and like, you know, you have to drop down from a ship and stuff, so it's all that kind of loading essentially, like. But that's only one thing. And then like the weapons in it are brilliant, especially the shotguns. Honestly, I think like Nicola, I'm pretty certain she's playing this as well. I would love to hear what she thinks of the weapons on this, because there's one shotgun called like the Evo 8 and it's an absolute monster. Like, the shotguns are actually the highlight of the weaponry, which is like mad, because I've never got on with shotguns at all. Now, the only reason I'm saying that is because the like assault rifles and stuff, they're all great and there's some really cool attachments you can get, like massive long distance scopes and stuff put onto it. The only problem is, in the heat of like panic where it's like a squad come in and you're like, oh shit, there's just bullets flying everywhere, the kind of the amount of bullets in your cartridge, just it depletes very quickly, and loading is just a bit of like a situation. So like, it's kind of really weird. You like, if you're using the assault rifle, you have to really aim for like their heads if you can, to get the most damage out of like, say, like some machine guns will have only like 10 bullets and that's it, like, you know, and then others will have like 15 or something. So it's only a small thing. I think like that will come into place and they might fix it slightly, because everyone's using shotguns like all the time. It's the go-to weapon. But other than that, like, I see a lot of people online as well, kind of saying that like they're just once again not good at this kind of game, and I'm kind of surprised by that, because I'm absolutely useless at these kind of games and I'm getting on pretty okay in it. Now, I was talking to a friend last night about this, and because he's in nowhere near like into this kind of game at all, but I was like, you gotta give it a shot, because I know he's into Dying Light. Now, I noticed someone just going, what the fuck is he talking about Dying Light for compared to Apex Legends? I understand, right? But if you've ever played Dying Light before, and I think like there's certain games out to do it, I think Horizon Zero Dawn does this as well. It's this feeling of pure control of your character. And like Titanfall 2 did that. Like Titanfall 2 has it as well, where you just feel like you're in, like all the sliding, you have it down. You know exactly the distance you can go. And it's just when that clicks, that's when the addiction happens for me in a game. Because when I played something like Dying Light, when you get used to the parkour and stuff, at first I was like, oh Jesus, I'm really bad at this. But then all of a sudden you become amazing. And that feeling is just one of my all-time favourites. Now, not only like I was talking about the features like the ping and stuff like that. Like, the ping can go as far as like pointing out items. So like, you could be over in some other building, you'll find like a helmet, a bodysuit, armor. You can just press like R1, just point at it, press R1, and your character will say like, bodysuit over here, level 1. So then your team hears that and sees it on their screen tagged, so they can run over and just take it if they want. So the actual structure of like working as a team is mind-blowingly well done, considering I don't have to chat to the person. I could be looking up like far in the distance, up in like a mountain or something. I can see maybe like a guy running along. I know a guy in my team has like a sniper rifle. I can tag the enemy and go, enemy spotted over there, and then he'll be like banging and he'll keep a lookout and try and find him and shoot him down. Like,
right.
This is all like things that happen that are just like, it's just amazing, because as soon as you start, it just feels like a shooter as such, you know, until you really get the feeling of the features. Like, they even added in things like, if you put away your weapon completely, like if you just hold down triangle and you're just running with just your hands, you'll actually run faster than keeping your gun out. So like,
yeah, I think PUBG did that initially. I don't know if it's still in there or not.
Okay.
But you could do that where if you put your gun away, you'd run faster.
Yeah.
I don't think it was a particularly huge difference, but I remember it being in there.
Now, this does make a difference, because like, you need that, because there's going to be moments where you have to like just absolutely peg it, because like the thing is closing in and stuff and you're just having to go. No. Like, my favourite part about the entire game, I think, like, the gameplay is tight, it's really addictive, all that. My favourite thing is, once again, going with the squads, but the respawning. This, to me, is one of the finest features I've seen in an online game, where, like, especially for a Battle Royale. So, like, I'm there. I had already a moment of the year for me personally. Like, in gaming, I've already had, like, my number one moment right now. If we were doing Game of the Year, I'd be like, this is my Game of the Year moment. And it was resulting in me and my two other team members, all of a sudden, one of the lads went completely rogue. Like, he just, I don't know what happened to him, he just lost it, right? And he just, like, took off over to the other end of the map for some unknown reason, and I was like, what the fuck is he doing? And me and the other fellow were just kind of looking at each other back and forth, and we were like, why is he doing that? We need to go, like, we need to get out because it's closing in. Next minute, I see him get completely shot, and he's, like, down. And I'm like, what a nightmare. Now, what happens here is, if your teammate goes down, you have about, roughly, I think around a minute, let's just say it's a minute, to get over to him and pick up his banner. Now, once you pick up your teammate's banner, then, whenever you can, go to one of the respawn stations, which are, there's around, like, say, this is not the exact figure, but say there's around 8 respawn stations around the entire map. If you get to one of them, you can then bring your character back into the game. They'll come flying in on a ship and they'll drop down. They have no like weapons or anything. They start again from scratch, but you have your teammate back. Now, thing about this is, it's so unbelievably crucial. Like, you do feel like, especially when you're down to like, say, the last 5 squads of a round, and you're like, we could really do with all 3 of us on the team. And in this particular moment, I was just kind of like, I'm going to chance it. I'm just going to absolutely go for it and try and get his banner. So this, my other guy went off, and I had my shotgun, the Evo 8 one, and I just bolted it. And I was sliding down the mountain, running through the water. And I was just like, there was bullets flying everywhere. I get over, grab his banner, and then I just ran through a building. I took down 4 guys in one go. And the thing is, you can kick in the doors and stuff, so it feels all like really cool, like an action pack. And it makes a major heavy sound when you do it. So I'm doing all this. I can see on the map my other teammate is going, because right now, the ring is right behind me. Like, it's just closing in. And I'm like, holy shit. And I'm trying to get back to respawn my teammate at the closest station. I get there. You have to hold down square for like 5 seconds. He comes in. I ended up throwing down a weapon on the ground for him, because you can drop all your loot, and drop down my weapon, and we both just took off, slid down like the mountain into the river again, went along to the other side, regrouped all 3 of us, and just sat there for a few seconds going, okay, let's not go rogue again. Like, let's just all be together. But it was just a general... It was just the feeling that I, for me personally, never experienced. Now, the thing is, there's going to be people on here who live and breathe these kind of games, like the Battle Royale stuff. For me personally, this is a first time for me. So that kind of moment had such an impact of excitement. I was like then, yeah, I love this game. I love this game. Yeah. I love just how it's making me, the person who could not get into Fortnite, PUBG, was just shit at it straight off. Like, there are some people on here already. Like, lads, it's only like just over a week of the game being out. There are some people on here who are just machines at playing it. Like, I don't know how people are able to do this. Like, I thought 20 hours, I'm like, fucking hell yeah, I'm doing pretty good in this. There is people high ranks in this already. Like, and they're so skillful. Like, there's already dozens of videos up there of like just amazing battles. Do you know what I mean? I think what Respawn have done here is incredibly smart. Now, there is all the microtransaction stuff, so you can buy all extra, there's like two extra legends you can buy. There is only the one map right now. The map is fantastic, King's Canyon. I think it's an absolutely, it's just really well designed and it's just a lot of fun. And it's, I would like to think that the game will always stay in the future, like a game that you could, say if you were out of it for a week, if you weren't playing Apex Legends for a week and you came back and you were still able to do well, like, my biggest fear in these games is that people will just get way too good and then, like, they know all the spots of the map and you're just getting pasted all the time. When that happens, that sucks for me personally because I'm not that good of a gamer in these things. So I hope, like, so far, the map just seems so well designed that I can't see this happening. But I hope it, like, for future maps, if they do release them, that it stays that way. And, like, even down to people bitching about Titanfall, like 3 not being the announcement, like, that's just so irritating. Like, people need to focus on Apex Legends, because that now is what they went for, it's what they're doing, and they've delivered a free game technically for all to play, and it's incredibly addictive. And I, like, everyone all of a sudden is like, oh, Titanfall 2 is an only seller, just bought it there. It's like, what the fuck? Like, why? What? Like, if you don't support the game that they're doing now, they're going to never release a game again. Do you know what I mean? Like, Titanfall 2 is a game that I always say that people should, and there's lots of us on the team who defend that game massively. I think it's one of the best single player campaigns out there in terms of first person shooter. But, like, Respawn are just really, really good at this. And, like, for people saying, oh, they didn't bring in, like, oh, where are the Titans and the wall running and stuff, like, they did say, I didn't hear this, but I heard it in a podcast when they were saying they heard an interview of Respawn saying that, like, the reason they didn't put in the wall running and stuff was because it just made the whole game too messy. And, like...
I heard that somewhere myself. Yeah, like, it was the same sort of thing. It's from that interview, and it was like, we tested it, and it didn't help the flow because teams couldn't stick together all the time.
Yeah, yeah. And, like... That's so cool, like, in the sense of the like, they actually did think about it and they did try it, and then they went, no, it's in. Look, we all know, like, the wall running stuff and the Titans, they're fun, they're mad, but look, that's Titanfall, that's there, this is a new thing. And the fact they didn't try it, because I would have hated that. Like, there's something about the game, like, if someone was wall running, I'm just going to be shooting bullets all over the place. I could never keep up with that kind of stuff. Do you know, this is just so well designed. And, like, I don't know how many, what's the player count now, but I think, what was it after, like...
It's like 10 million, 10 I think, million after 3 days,
yeah.
I think.
Retweet, 10 million, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And which is that, I mean, I know it's a free game and stuff, but that's mad.
It's astonishing, like, and I think it's just, and it's so polished. Like, that's one thing I didn't say, the game is so unbelievably polished, and I've only had, like, one or two, like, I've never been kicked out of a game at all. Like, the game has never just crashed on me, and every time I've tried to, like, bar, I'd say 3 times max when I pressed X, like, to load in, it would just kind of go, oh, just retry. But other than that, smooth as balls. Like, it's just, like, no issues whatsoever for me personally. I can really see me playing this game for, like, the rest of the year, and I would like that to happen. I would like it to keep me this, like, engrossed and stuff. Because there's just no way I expected no one expected it, bar probably people who went to the event and stuff. But like, there's no fucking way I would have honestly thought I would love this kind of game. Mm. And I just
you've got me tempted, because like I basically didn't bother with it, because I was like, I know I'm not fast enough for this kind. Because it's more of like the Twitch style shooter, isn't it? Like Titanfall was. So I was like, I'm not sure. But
yeah,
the way you're sort of selling it to me makes think maybe I won't be shit. Or well, it's just, I'll be less shit.
But dude, like, you go in there, like, and I've had rounds where I've like died straight away still. I've had rounds where I've like killed six people. I've had a round where I've killed nobody, but I've gotten to like, our squad has gotten to like second last. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. This is just what happens. It's just, I think, it's not about how good you're doing. It's just about how it naturally feels to be with, like, these two other people and communicating. Like, you'll get some fucking teams, no, don't get me wrong, you'll get some players who come in and they just don't really want to play with your squad, and that sucks. But then that's just their situation, because they're not going to last very long at all. Like, do you know what I mean? The game is so well designed for you to have to work, like, the three of you together. But, like, when you do get, and it happens majority of the time, two other players, and you're just immediately all supporting each other, pinning all this armor, dropping armor for stuff. You can request for a certain ammo, and some dude will come along and just go, there you go, and you're like, thanks a million. You can do all the thanks and stuff, and like, it just feels nicer, and I hope it can stay this way. And I think going forward, like, for like, I don't know, like competition, like Evo and stuff, it will be like, is it not Evo's the fighting one? What's the other competition, like online gaming ones that like people do, like Fortnite and Overwatch and shit?
I can't think of it.
Yeah, well, like those kind of events anyway. Yeah. Like, you're going to see this here, like, no doubt about it. I highly recommend anybody who has just, like, said, not my bag, do try it. It is free. Respawn are really fucking great, like, at what they do, and they do deserve, like, a bit of credit for this, and they're listening to everyone online, what they want differently and stuff, and, like, yeah, it looks like Overwatch with a bit of Fortnite, I guess, but Jesus, I don't really care how it looks, it runs, like, so super smooth, and it's so much fun.
Awesome. Yeah. I'm gonna go and play some more of it. As I say, once I get these reviews out of the way, I'm going to go and enjoy a good few hours on it, because I've only had one game. But
yeah,
you know, it'd be good to...
on PS4.
PS4, yeah. Like, I'm on PS4. I know Adam is on, like, he plays it mainly on Xbox, and he has on PC. But like, you know, yeah, try PS4. We can get in a squad together and just run around, and you'll get the feeling.
Yeah.
You'll just get it, and then you'll it becomes that thing where, like, say you're at home and like you're kind of going, well, I'm not going to leave the house for a half hour, we just jump in there for a round of Apex, and you know, it could probably go over half an hour, because that's just what it does. Like, but I am so into this game, and it's only one map, like, mental.
I know, and it's a week in, and there's going to be so many improvements to it over the coming year. It's going to be interesting to see where we are by the time it gets to December.
I know, man. I just see what they've done. Really hope I don't fall off the wagon of this game, because there's just like, now with this just being announced, with just coming out, I'm just like, what more does 2019 have to offer in the world of games? Because if I'm feeling this way about this game, Jesus Christ, who knows what I'll be talking about at the end of the year. Like,
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah. Well, I've been playing The Walking Dead. It's not Telltale anymore. It's Skybound. Yeah.
Is it still called, though, like, Telltale's Walking Dead?
Do you know what? I don't... Yeah, I think
What season is this?
This is technically the fourth. It's called the final season, but it's the fourth one, because... You had the one with Lee, the one where you end up looking after a baby, which is AJ. And then you've got season three where you've got the separate family in it that have got nothing to do with like what's happened before. And then this one, which... Because the last series, it was kind of like Clementine wasn't the main character. She just kind of was in it. but it featured more around this other family. Whereas this one, this is her season, and this is it's weird because you when you very first start playing The Walking Dead season one, it's about looking after this fragile little child as Lee. Mm. And making the right decisions so you can influence her in a world which has gone to shit, but you've still someone who's upstanding with his morals and stuff to try and show her that, you know, not everyone has turned into walkers or not everyone has become corrupt by what's happening around them. Whereas in this season, you are taking on that role now of Lee and the little lad, AJ, he's about 8 or 9 now. So it feels very much like that's where it is. It feels like a replay of season one, only in that kind of idea.
So it does say Telltale, the Telltale series on the box, like, because the physical edition got announced and stuff.
It should do, really. Because, I mean, it definitely feels like it's run its course. Like, this story, The Walking Dead within Telltale, it's done. They've done all they can, really.
That sounds like everything for all media of fucking Walking Dead. It just sounds like it's just now it's done. It really does.
To be fair, like just going on about the series, like when Negan came into it, it suddenly became incredible, and then that dragged on for a good 2 series. Whereas now they're at a point where the Whisperers have been involved in it, and I don't know if you know much about the Whisperers, but they're a million times worse than what Negan ever did. So the series has the potential to go and be great again for a little while. But this Telltale game, so you've encountered this school of kids, which they're kind of left after other teachers have been killed, and they take you in. You uncover some secrets. So in the first 2 episodes, you uncover some darker things within this community. And it's at a point now where you meet up with a character from the first series called Lily. And I don't know if you can remember, but Lee ends up leaving her behind, and they all set off without her, and they leave her behind after she kills one of Kenny's children. It's all very hazy because it's a long time ago. But she's basically come back, and she's got her own group now. And you end up in a war against each other. And the decision, like, at the end of... Because I reviewed episode 3, because when it was all kicking off with Telltale, code was a bit sparse. I don't know why, but it was just one of those things. So we didn't get to play it. But now I've played them all. And it's kind of left at a point where... It's a pretty big decision, and that's what Telltale, they do that really well. You do feel the weighty decisions, and I kind of felt like a real dick because I felt like I'd undone all my hard work to kind of keep AJ above the surface with everything, and I fucked it. But that I think in the moment you make a snap reaction sometime. I'm trying to be really careful in case people are playing it. I don't want to ruin anything. But it involves AJ doing something that jeopardizes his kind of naivety and childhood to kind of take a step towards having to grow up in this world. And I feel like looking back on it, I made a mistake. But in the moment that you just have to make that snap decision. But again, that's what Telltale have always kind of done really well. And there are other kind of moments in it where the TV series never really touch on. And there's a scene where, I mean, you meet one of the Whisperers in it, who's kind of disbanded from this group. And the Whisperers are basically humans that wear like zombie skin, and they wear the faces over their faces, and they control the herds of zombies, and they're just very fucking horrific. They're very evil, and he basically steps away, and there's this scene where he takes you to a barn full of walkers, and he gives you the mask and makes you go inside, And he sees walkers when they're not trying to feast on someone. They're just, they're like any kind of, like animal, like packs of animals. They're just, they exist. They're not causing any harm. And when they are feeding, they're doing it to stay alive. And it kind of humanizes them. And it's really weird. But it's something that the series has never done. The TV series has never done. And it's, I think Telltale have always kind of been good at trying to do something different, whether it like with Batman or with Borderlands, Game of Thrones. They've always kind of tried to make their series just kind of reach out of the comfort of the base kind of material and try something different. And I think as much as it does feel like it's ending, they're doing well, and I think it's going to go out. Well, I don't know.
See, this is what I want to ask you, right? With it coming to a close, like, is there just a thing for players that have played the whole series so far, with everything that happened surrounding Telltale, is it just a weird kind of thing to kind of finish up? Because, like, I understand, like, it's great that they're giving you an end result, but like, I don't know, man. Like, I feel like The Walking Dead in general, not just even the Telltale, just that franchise, is one of the strangest. Like, it is just, for fans, it's been very bizarre, like, the choices that have been made. And what was once, like, I only did, like, season 1 and 2 of the Telltale series, and I thought 1 was just absolutely mind-blowing. Like, at the time, the story was sensational. But, like, how are you feeling coming to a close of it all? Like, Are you satisfied? Do you still feel a bit like, oh, it's kind of...
I think after season 3, I was like, without knowing about what was happening with Telltale, I was very much like, yeah, that was all right. I don't know if I kind of want to see any more. And it ended with Clementine, nothing really happening with her. So I just, you know, if they never made anything else, it wouldn't have bothered me. But I think because they announced it and then Telltale closed, it feels like it needed to be completed. And when Skybound kind of took over and released it, I don't know, I'm kind of concerned because at the time they may not have known where The Walking Dead in their universe was leading, but it feels like there has to be some finality to it. And I don't know what's, because there's only one more episode left, which comes out at the end of March, and after what happens in the third episode, it just doesn't feel like there's going to be a satisfying conclusion to their Walking Dead. But I don't know if that was their intent. They never had that intention anyway, because they might not have known that it was kind of curtains for Telltale. So it is weird. I mean, I'm happy that they got to that it's been released, because we all thought that it was never going to get finished, and we'd all been left with 2 episodes and it would have just been over. But now I know that it's finally out there and it's ready to be released.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it's going to be as satisfying as people want, but it's not exactly Telltale's fault. I don't know. It's weird.
It's a strange
when
one.
When it happens and it's released, I'll see.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's been really good so far, and I'm not. It's not like the best, because you are never going to top the first series of this Telltale Walking Dead, because it was just so new and fresh, and the storytelling was exceptional. And even season 2 was all right, but season 1 was where it was at. Yeah. Sorry,
did you keep up with the TV show?
Yeah, I'm there.
Holy shit!
I'm still with it. Like, I'm going to watch it when I finish the new episode.
What is better? Do you enjoy where the story has gone in the game? Are you enjoying? Because, like, to be honest, the TV show, just not to go on about the TV show as such, but I just like the universe as a whole. Like, what?
I think with The Walking Dead, much like Lost, it's the way they have built the characters, and I very much feel connected to the characters, and
of course, yeah.
And now where it's at, because obviously Rick's not in it anymore. Michonne, who's been in it since the start of season 3, she's going.
Was that just announced?
Yes. Yeah. So at the end of this series, I believe she's not, because they've basically announced, because they're making like 3 spin-off films with Andrew Lincoln. So I think she's going to be a part of that. So she's not, I don't think she's dying, but
she's got that Disney Marvel money now. She's like, fuck you, Walking Dead.
Exactly,
I'm out.
Yeah. Yeah. But the main reason I still watch it is for Jeffrey Dean Morgan as Negan, because he's so charismatic, yeah, and he's such a good character. And now his storyline's ended as being like this real dick who's now possibly joining up with this band of survivors to take on the Whisperers. I'm very much excited to see where it goes again, but it's gone through stages of being absolute dog shit. But because I've stuck with it for so long,
oh, you have to keep going.
I can't just give up.
Like,
now.
I bailed after season two.
Yeah, I'm glad I've stuck with it, because there have been some phenomenal story arcs in it. Yeah. And like that episode where Negan, where he bashes Glenn's skull. It's just, I've never felt physically sick from like the anxiety of not knowing what was going to happen. Like, you see gore in it all the time, so you become desensitized to that. It was more just the fear you were feeling. So they've had some really good episodes and they've had some really shit episodes, but I can't not stick with it. And I feel like that a bit with Telltale's The Walking Dead. It's obviously, it's not been as long as the series, but I feel like I have to stick with it now.
Yeah.
And I've played I played the Michonne episodes of The Walking Dead when they released that side story, and all these ones. And then there was like a separate episode of Telltale's Walking Dead featuring the random survivors. So there's been a lot there, and I don't know. I think it's coming to a close now. I don't know whether it's going to be the episode people want, but I think it'll at least conclude like Clementine's story. But we'll see.
Yeah. All right.
It might be quite divisive. And talking about division, we're going to talk to Gary Bailey.
Smooth. That was smooth.
Yeah, I thought so. The Division 2's beta, which you have been playing, mate.
Yes.
So lay it on me. What's it like?
I'll sort of make this quite quick. I didn't get to play that much of it in the end, but
you not played 20 hours of it.
No, about two, I think it was in the end.
That's all right.
But no, I played the beta of the first game, which just never clicked, so I never ended up playing the main game. And I know it was kind of one of those things that some people liked it, some didn't, and then over time, as Ubisoft games seem to do, it got really good, and by all accounts, like, now it's brilliant. And this one, I don't know, I seem to click with it a bit more. I enjoyed the shooting, because one of my issues with the first one, it was very bullet spongy because of the nature of that style of game, which I think we spoke about this recently. Like, it bothered me, because I'm like, it's a Tom Clancy game. It's supposed to be a bit more realistic. Bullet sponges make no sense. But it doesn't feel quite as pronounced in this one. Like, a headshot is sometimes like lethal, as you kind of expect. But sometimes it takes a couple of headshots, but it works. It looks really nice. Like,
just with that, what's the setting like? Because obviously, the original was just a dull, dreary, bleak kind of rundown city.
Yeah, I mean, there is still that, but I don't know. There seems to be more colour to it. Like, I mean, the way the beta started, you were kind of just up the road from the White House. And where like some survivors are there, but there's like a band of bandits, I suppose, basically having a big shootout with them on the front lawn, trying to get in, and you come in to take those out, and you make your way into the White House. But just like one of the first things you see is like a deer in the middle of a big green field, and in the background you've just got like this kind of orange hazy like sky, and it looks really nice. I think that's what kind of drew me to it a bit more, because the first one, like say, it was very just white, grey, you know, it was a dull game, like a dull looking game, whereas this one, there's a lot of colour to it. Even when you go indoors and stuff, there's just more splashes everywhere of different colours, like brighter colours, so it's not just all darkness. it's got some issues, but I think it, obviously with it being a beta, like there was a lot of like texture popping and stuff like that. Like okay. there was points where I was stood there for a solid like couple of minutes waiting for a texture to appear so I could see what was going on. Oh, but when it does load in, everything looks really nice. The photo mode, I'm not sure about. Like, it's got potential, but because it's online, everything's continually moving. You go into photo mode, everything's still moving. You know, so it's a bit weird to try and get used to. So I think that's sort of something that, like, someone like Nicola
will
probably...
Yeah, that's a bit weird.
Nicola will love it, but I think it's just a case of it might take a little while just to go, right, okay, stuff's still moving. I have to kind of work it out from there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's other stuff that I did like. I don't know if this was in the first one, but you have, like, the settlements, and they can grow over time from as you do missions for the settlements. And, like, the first one that I came to, or the first major one I came to, was, like, all rooftops. And once you do missions, you start unlocking more of the rooftops. Like, they'll kind of spread out, and they'll get, like gardens and stuff like that that they'll start to cultivate. And it feels like there's a bit more of a community aspect to it.
Okay, that's good.
But, I mean,
because it kind of felt quite... You felt quite alone on the first game when you start playing that.
But, I mean, I didn't really see anything in the way of players, though. Like, I think I saw two players the entire time. So I thought it'd be more like Destiny, where you're running around, you constantly seeing other players.
I did.
But, I mean, again, it's a beta, so it could... And it was a closed beta as well. So I think that probably would have limited the player count quite a bit.
Yeah.
As I'm not sure if this is... Like, Anthem, I think, had quite a big base, because I think a lot of people were like, it's something new, I want to try it, so they pre-ordered for the codes. Whereas this one, I think a lot of people were probably like me, who were like, I'm not bothered about... Like, I wasn't bothered about Division 1, why would I care about Division 2? Or they might have played the Division 1 and gone, yeah, I played enough, I don't need... You know, so it's one of those things. But I think there's plenty... of potential there, and I'm a little more interested in it than I was the first game. Whether I'll play the full game, I don't know, but there's at least something there to maybe make me think about it.
Yeah.
Before we actually move on as well, I just want to quickly mention the Devil May Cry 5 demo.
Ugh. Oh yeah.
I was disappointed.
I thought it was fucking garbage.
Yeah, like I'm gonna be honest. Like we don't spend like a minute on this. I didn't know what to expect. I just wanted it to basically be another really fucking good Devil May Cry game. I know there's still obviously a chance of that happening. But I'm just gonna say that like with it running on the RE engine, it looks really good. I don't think it looks as good as like Resident Evil 2, but I just think that's because it's just the actual universe that it's in. I do think like the actual enemies look banging. I think they look really cool. Like there's some like Grim Reaper flying dudes, and it's like the detail is really cool on them. My biggest issue was I just could not get a flow. I didn't feel it. I couldn't feel the game at all. It does this weird kind of floaty thing that when you're running, and then he kind of runs a bit faster when you're holding it for an extended period of time, and just the combat. I couldn't get used to the arms. I just didn't understand what I was doing.
No, I think I mean I don't know if this is part of the demo or with it just being a demo. Sorry, because. You know, it doesn't really explain what the arm stuff is. I think that might be one of those things that when you play the full game, there's a bit more to it. And
possibly,
but
yeah.
I mean, you can hold the button, and when you let go, you get like a really powerful attack.
But I was doing that, and then he was like fucking revving up his sword. I didn't understand what was going on.
There was one that I did like during the boss fight at the demo. It's like, okay. Yeah, I held it, and it comes out this massive beam that you can aim, you're kind of stuck in one spot. And I'm stood there, and it's like, it's doing fuck all to this boss, who's just walking slowly towards me, getting ever closer while I'm stuck in this beam. And then he just twatted me away. Yeah. And I'm like, if you're going to give me this ability to this really cool looking energy beam,
yeah,
make it actually do something.
Yeah. Like, I know there's probably people out there who probably like got on with it better, but like, and I could just sound like an absolute tool bag who doesn't know how to play the thing, but like, I don't remember Devil May Cry feeling, or a game like this feeling this kind of weird. And like, the boss battle in the demo is so difficult. It is
it just takes too much.
Yeah.
Because it just feels like too much of a grind rather than like cool, I got out the way of his attack and, you know, I got in for a hit. So it just felt like I was doing nothing.
Yeah.
You know, you hit him and you can't really like jump and hit his head, you know, like, oh, I can get more damage, because it just takes a swing and knocks you flying and, you know, the chunk of your health is gone, whereas you've knocked off like half a millimetre of his health bar.
Like, it all depends, obviously, when the full game comes out, whether like the upgrading and stuff makes the game really come together and you really start to feel the flow. But like, this is just, it's so difficult with a game like this, because I always feel like if something like Devil May Cry or Bayonetta or whatever of this style comes out as a demo to play, I just want to see like the grand scope of it all and just pure action for that like 20 minute demo or whatever, you know. Yeah. And I just want to be able to complete and feel like I want more. I want to see more of that craziness. And I imagine it is there, but I don't know. It just kind of annoys me because I'm so going in there with an open mind, and I still am, but just because I want DMC 2.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I'm out. Like, I played the first demo. The second demo, I thought, oh, it's going to be something different, but it was the exact same demo.
Yeah.
It just added, like, some of the cutscenes and stuff, like, when it introduced the scythe-wielding dudes.
Yeah.
That wasn't in the first demo. It's just kind of like, it must have been before they'd finished certain cutscene bits. It felt the same. I think the camera might have been slightly better, but the whole thing felt the same. I was just like, this does not sell a game to me. This just, it feels like, almost like, it feels like the old games and not in a good way. Because it's like, if we're completely honest, if we go back to those original games, they haven't aged that well, because action games have done things since which make them a lot better. You know, they flow more. Whereas this just feels like it hasn't learned anything.
Well, but that's why DMC was such a like a big pick me up, like, because it was just absolutely fantastic.
And yeah, it made that's the basically franchise... what that did learn from the stuff that happened between the old games, and then when DMC came out, they're like, cool, new things have happened in the action genre.
Yeah.
We'll incorporate them. Whereas this just seems to have just completely kind of forgotten almost that the Xbox 360 generation existed.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, nothing's improved. Well, look,
the last thing I'll say is that I was a bit bummed out, because I came away from the game just going, well, look, at least smashing the pots in the game was really satisfying. Because it was really nice, because when you smashed it, like, the shards of the pot just kind of just stayed on the floor, and it was just showing off how good the engine is. I just keep talking about that RE engine all day long for you. I just think it's so great.
It's brilliant. It's a brilliant engine.
Yeah, RE engine, game of the year.
So moving on to listener correspondence, we've got I believe this was an email from someone called Steve. Steve, if you're listening, thanks for emailing. Don't know your last name. Let us know, because it's quite a good question.
Maybe it's Eve.
I saw an article on another site saying people are wanting Shaggy from Scooby-Doo as a fighter in Mortal Kombat. Who would you like to see in Mortal Kombat? My choice would be May versus Corbin, and Jacob Rees-Mogg versus Len McCluskey. It could be like MTV Celebrity Deathmatch from the old days. Great podcast. Keep it up. Thanks, Steve. So,
who the hell wants Shaggy in Mortal Kombat?
I don't know, but it's a thing. Like, I've seen like NetherRealm have tweeted about it. Ed Boon tweeted about it. I don't know where it came from. But would it be good? Like, fuck it, I'd be able to control his Shaggy, Scooby-Doo.
It's weird, because I don't know if you know, but DC have done like a crossover thing like Scooby-Doo Apocalypse.
Yes,
it's like, yeah, it's like post-apocalypse with like the Scooby-Doo characters. Whether it's, I don't know, maybe it's come from that somehow.
Possibly.
You know, because it's the same people who did like Injustice, so maybe there's some kind of weird crossover. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's a bit, yeah, it's a bit of a random one.
Well, if I go ahead, Chris.
No, you
go ahead.
No, you go, mate.
Okay.
No, you go, mate.
Right.
No,
I'm gonna suggest I would enjoy Mrs. Doubtfire. And that is just because if I could get all of Robin Williams' like great lines in it with the voice and like say the faith. Do you remember that scene in Mrs. Doubtfire where the woman comes to the house and he's panicking and he drops his like face on the street and then he just goes into the fridge and slaps a pie into his face to cover
his own.
Like that should be the fatality. It's just a big massive cream pie straight to the face in super heavy detail. I take that.
I'd like to see Liam Neeson versus I'd like to see Bill and Ted in Mortal Kombat.
That'd be fun.
Because I love Bill and Ted and fucking why not.
Yeah. See, all I can think of now is I just want to see anyone do fatalities on Jacob Rees-Mogg because he's just such a fucking cunty looking freak. He's just such a horrible excuse for a human being that I'd just love to see these things. And
he's a bit of a penis.
I don't really know who I'd actually like to see in it. I can't really think of anyone. If it was Injustice, there's so many fucking DC characters, but like,
but just throw anyone, like, sticking... put anyone. Jeez,
the thing is, they've had like the Xenomorph. They've had, did they have Jason one year?
Yeah, I think Freddy Krueger. I think like MKX or 10, whatever they want to call it.
So, Leatherface.
Yeah, I think it had like basically all of them, didn't it? It had Jason,
Jason, Freddy.
Was Freddy in that one or was it 9?
No.
Or did they bring him in?
Do you know what? No, I'm getting very. I know Jason's definitely in it. Leatherface.
Yeah, Jason's
was in
been in one. Leatherface was in it.
But now I'm getting confused after that because of like Dead by Daylight, because I know Michael Myers and Freddy Krueger is in that. It's just really weird. Is Predator in it?
I think he might have been. I think he was one of the other ones.
He was, I think, because I remember playing.
You should definitely
stick the Fred alien in it.
Yeah.
Chucky. Have you seen the trailer for Chucky?
No.
Yeah.
They've done a new Chucky? Yeah. I didn't even know this was a thing.
There's a new movie coming and there's a TV show coming. And the thing is, the movie is getting serious, serious grief. And for, like, I'm on that wagon too. I don't like openly bash things. Like I just couldn't be arsed wasting my time because it's never going to change. It's going to just happen. But like, it's fair game because it's a big studio backing an idea from a guy who is still alive and still creating movies for the franchise. So like, it's a bit of a stab in the back. Like Don Mancini is the original creator of the Chucky series, and this other dude, like, not to blame him, like, you know, it's just he's just doing work or whatever, but a big studio take on a Child's Play remake, and like Don Mancini is just kind of like, nice one, like I'm here still, I'm the creator, I'm still dishing out like good Chucky ideas, and I'm willing to do one with a big budget with a like all that stuff, and they didn't give it to him, and like, it's pretty mad. Like, he's been incredibly open about it on podcasts, and like Jennifer Tilly, who is like one of the main characters of the Chucky franchise, she has said like she's not happy about it at all, and they're all like hashtagging like not my Chucky, like it's
right.
they're really going for it. But like Don Mancini is doing the TV show, but I've seen the trailer, and it was actually all shot like in where I was living in Canada, like just literally on my street and everything, which was pretty mad. But like, I've seen the trailer. I don't know. I don't know. Like, it's hard for me as a fan to just be like, yeah, cool. Like, I'm gonna see it. Like, I'm gonna definitely go see it. But I'm not like excited. I'm more excited for Dan Mancini's TV show.
Was that coming to Netflix?
It's coming to Sci-Fi, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, it's one of those things, like, but yeah, I don't know, like, it's a really, really just, like, touchy thing. Like, I always remember when Halloween was coming out, the newest one, the director was like, he wasn't going ahead unless John Carpenter gave him, like, pretty much, like, the blessing.
Yes.
And that's, like, it's very respectful in that sense, and, like, and that's, like, in any fucking form of entertainment, you know what I mean? If the person is still around, like, you gotta respect their creation. And
absolutely,
you know,
yeah.
Not to say, no, that the director probably didn't go ahead and say, look, we should do this, but you just don't know. It's just weird.
I've thought of someone who I wouldn't mind seeing in Mortal Kombat.
Like, go.
Conan and Red Sonja. I think they'd really suit that world as well.
Yeah. Oh, Conan the Barbarian?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, good shot.
As in, like, Arnie Conan.
See, I'd go for, like, the one from the books. Or if we're going to go movie ones, I think Jason Momoa was a better Conan. He was more like the actual Conan from the books or the short stories rather than...
Is that film...
Basically just Arnie in a loincloth.
Is that movie pure bum, though?
It's a good film. It's just not...
If I watch this that recent Conan movie, guys, am I going to be angry?
I don't know, because I mean, I watched it and I was like, Jason Momoa, I think, was brilliant as Conan, but I just think the overall story, I forget the guy who played the villain's name. He was the one who was like the villain in Avatar and in that one where everyone had to be quiet because he could hear everything. The horror one that was on a couple of years. It was a couple of years ago. He was like an ex-Marine who was blind and these kids went
breathe.
To rob him. That's it, yeah.
Yeah.
I forget, is it Stephen something, I think it is? Stephen Lang or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, he was the villain and he wasn't that great.
Okay.
It's kind of like, it's a decent old school fantasy adventure, but yeah, it's worth it for Jason Momoa. But
is it really? Because I'm not like a Jason Momoa fan.
If you're not a big fan of his, then probably not.
I don't really know what I'm supposed to be a fan of. That's the problem here. I know what a lot of women are a fan of, but I'm just, I just don't know.
What, women. Bloody hell, he's a pretty attractive fella.
Yeah, he is.
I would. Yeah. I absolutely would.
A lot of people are very attracted to him. He definitely has a stare and a couple of muscles. I'll give him that. And very long hair. But, you know, I don't really know if I'm into any of the movies.
He seems like a nice guy. I think that's part of... the charm.
You'd be fucking nice too if you were that fucking big.
I'm not gonna Jesus. Lie, yeah, I probably would be.
Yeah. So Jason Momoa in the new Mortal Kombat game.
Yeah, there you go.
There's all his characters.
Against Mrs. Doubtfire.
Fucking hell, you're listening, Ed Boon. That's a match made in heaven. Thomas at LlamaFluff 42. Do you find it strange how retailers haven't capitalised on Xbox backwards compatibility? I picked up Dead Space 1 to 3 for next to nothing. No one seems to be promoting it or setting up dedicated shelf space for second-hand BC titles. I think there's much more that could be done. To be fair, I'm not really going back and playing on anything. And I mean, I noticed CX or Sex... Bants, whatever they're called, they kind of up the price of certain games, but I'm just I'm not that bothered about going back that far and playing like them kind of games. I don't know what you guys are like.
I mean, I've started playing when they first announced backwards compatibility, I was like, I don't care, but I've started to really play them a lot more. Not loads, but enough. But I do think it's considering what's Xbox has done with some of them, like to improve them, not just the X enhancements, but like just generally they seem to have improved them in how they run. I think it's really good. And I think like there's so much that they could do with it, and there's a lot of games I wouldn't mind seeing. And then they started like the original Xbox ones, but that seemed to have like kind of disappear a bit quick.
I don't know, like, I'm definitely one for going back and playing, like, hands down. Like, I'll play a lot of games over and over again. Do I find it strange that retailers like, haven't gone ahead with it and pushed it? Not really, because, like, gaming is in such a different place now. Like, it's just, there's, my nephew wouldn't even probably think of picking up a physical copy or something. Like, he's just online, Fortnite stuff, all that jazz, you know. Yeah. It's just, it's a sign of the times, really. Like, and if you can walk into a store and see a shelf full of, like, used games back in the day, you're very lucky, because I would get a massive kick out of that. But, like, it's never going to be pushed on. Like, I just, not know, ever.
Mm. Thomas, again, buying new releases on day one on top of huge backlogs. Why do we do this, and is there a cure?
No.
No, there isn't a cure, no.
There's never a cure.
There is a cure. don't pick up Dead Space 1 to 3, Thomas. And that to your backlog.
Absolutely. No,
there isn't a cure. There isn't a cure, but it is one of the finest burdens to bear. Darren, at Rotom on Twitter, with subscription services like PS Now and Xbox Game Pass presenting a more Netflix-style future, is this the model that we will finally allow episodic gaming to be anything other than a niche that's only suited to story-driven point and clicks? Ooh, Uncharted 5 levels released weekly. As a question. Question mark. No. I really hope that isn't the case, and I don't think it will be. But I don't know. What do you guys think?
The episodic thing, other than, like, the Telltale stuff and, like, Life is Strange, that kind of thing, it didn't really take off, did it? Because, like, Valve started it.
I'll say you're completely right. However, it did work for Hitman for me.
True. Yes, I did forget about Hitman. Sorry.
But that's... No, that's all right. You don't have to apologise to me, Gary.
the only...
Yeah. It's the only game I can think of outside of the story ones that works. I don't think it's a necessity.
It might work for, like, new ideas, that kind of thing, I reckon. Like, maybe not, like, a big sequel like Uncharted. You know, if someone started, like, a new game, rather than doing, like, for example, you know, you've got a lot of people doing the early access stuff, you could maybe do this, so you release, like, one episode, see how that does, you know, if almost like a pilot, you know, you put it out there for the audience to judge, to give it a go. If it doesn't do well, then they can move on to something else.
But then that sucks. Like, if there's anything here, it just goes back to what we were talking about regarding Telltale. Like, that's a sign of what could easily happen if it was to go into the future with this idea. Because imagine playing a game and, like, you're getting your episodic thing, like weekly is a big ask, like, definitely when it comes to a video game territory. But, like, do you know just the way it is with Telltale? But, like, you're into a game and all of a sudden the studio has to close down.
Yeah.
And that can easily happen to a lot of companies.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you know what I mean? And that would suck not only for companies, but for players and fans and everything. It would just cause a lot of upset, I feel. I understand the general idea, but no, I never want that.
Although, I will say, actually, another one that did it well was Resident Evil Revelations 2. That was good. Yep. The episodic stuff worked for that.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
But yeah, I mean, I think it's one that's too difficult, I think, because, like I say, Valve started it and even they couldn't fucking finish it. So, you know, it's probably best maybe left alone. Unless, like, I mean, you've obviously got Life is Strange at the moment working, and you've got the end of Walking Dead.
Yeah.
But I feel like maybe that should be it for the episodic stuff. Just go. I suppose going back to, like, the early access thing, people can do that instead. You know, if they're wanting to develop something bigger, but they don't, you know, they maybe don't have the money or they're not sure about time scale, they can release it bit by bit via the early access. And they can learn a lot while they're doing it through feedback and fix a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I think this latest series of Life is Strange, the two episodes that will come out, that's even starting to wane. Like, it's just not gripping me as much as the first season. It's very slow paced. And the episodes are like 2.5 hours, which I'm sure they weren't that long originally. I always thought they were like an hour and a half to 2 hours.
Around that, it's similar.
They feel really long.
Yeah.
But so I'm happy for them. I just want a full game, like you say. Cause if a studio closes, it jeopardizes the whole franchise.
Yeah.
Final question. One of the final questions, Darren. Thank you for this. I am not answering first. Has a video game ever made you horny?
Silent Hill 2.
Just the shape of his pyramid head's head.
Lovely. Beautiful boy. I don't know how to ever answer that.
To be fair, he works that pyramid. He works.
He does.
He does.
Like, I don't know. Like,
Earthworm Jim.
I know. Like, if Mikhail were here, he'd have plenty to say.
God, he'd get his list out of his wallet.
I mean, I suppose not horny.
Be careful
but
what
I
you
do
say, guys. Be careful. Like, this could ruin your life.
No, leave him, Adam. Don't warn him. Not, I want him to say it.
It's not horny, it's not but I have been crushing on Claire in Resident Evil 2. But it's not horny. She is based on a real.
Mate,
she's based on a real woman.
It is. Don't worry about it.
And yeah, I mean, Jordan McEwen, her name is the face model, and she's beautiful. Just so you know. But yeah. I mean, I don't think a game has ever made me horny.
Well, it just basically means excited. Like. So, like, have you been excited? I'm trying to make it basically more PG. The question of a game making you very
PG.
All right,
PG. I've already said cunt in this.
Well,
pod. It's
that,
not
that
PG.
Kind of PG is just non-existent.
Yeah,
that's the case. I'm going to hell.
Video game characters that you fancy.
All right.
Or just find attractive. And then that might make it a bit easier. Because no one wants to admit to being horny for a video game. Do they?
No,
apart from Gary
no.
and Claire from Resident Evil 2.
Come on, you've seen her. She's pretty.
I have. She is
Yeah,
pretty.
I go with Claire. She's lovely.
I had a thing for 2B.
Jesus.
From Nier Automata.
Oh, yeah, you kept that answer quiet when we changed the question as such, didn't you?
Yeah.
He was positioning the camera, trying to get it up the panty shot, weren't you? Yeah.
Get up the panty.
Get a trophy for that.
Yeah, she kept batting me away.
Shit.
I don't know if you actually know that, but if you do, she knocks the camera away.
But don't you get a trophy?
Yeah, that's what I did it. Obviously.
That's why.
And on that note...
final question, which is a reoccurring question. You have to spend the next 24 hours in the world of the last video game you played. Will you survive and will you have a nice time?
Was it Nier Automata that you played last?
Oh, we'll have a fucking great time. No, it was... I can't say what it is. But the game before was The Walking Dead. And no, I wouldn't, because they're zombies and they're mean. So I would not have a nice time.
Before recording, I played Bloodborne.
Oh,
did you?
Yeah, yeah. I'm playing that quite a bit at the moment.
Yeah.
When you
were talking about pots, I thought of Bloodborne because they smash quite.
Yeah,
sad.
They're very satisfying too. Will I have a nice time? Absolutely not. Will you survive? Definitely not. Definitely.
unless you just sit in the hunter's dream and never leave. Like, I'll survive, that's fine.
I would be the worst person in the Bloodborne world. Like, what would I do? I would just try and hide in a pot. That is basically it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. I think the last game I played was the Division 2 beta. And that, I probably wouldn't survive because there's a lot of shooting.
Jesus.
You know, you couldn't just go out to the shop and buy, you know, because you'd just get shot. No,
I don't think I'd
have a
nice time.
We
need to play happier games, I think.
I have started playing Overwatch again, which, ooh. I mean, that's been nice. Like, I played it the other day at a friend's and it was kind of like, I'd forgotten how good it was. And then it turned out that it was like down to 20 quid on the PlayStation store. And I was like, I've got about 11 quid in my wallet. That's fine.
You bought it?
Yeah, fuck it. I'll play it. And it's so good to play that again.
Mm, it is.
Yeah.
So there you go. Well, that's another podcast. Thanks for joining me, guys. It's been a blast.
You are welcome.
You can obviously go and read up all our reviews and content on godisageek.com or on Twitter at godisageek. You can follow Adam at Adam Zokes. You can follow Gary at BlueFury47. You can follow me at First Avenger 83. And also, you know, you can help us bring you more content and more videos, attend more events, because the Patreon really does help us get to these events. The Anthem event we attended recently, and you got some footage and thoughts from, that was all thanks to you guys. So if you go to patreon.com/godisageek and you like what we do, you want to give us a bit of money each month to keep making stuff, that'd be very much appreciated. Anyway, guys, as I said, thank you for joining me.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
And thank you all for listening. Take care. Bye bye.